Hey everybody, welcome to the Sports Day HS podcast. I am Michael Florek, here with kind of a consistent crew today. We have the magnificent Matt Wixon.
Hello, thank you.
We have the awesome Avi Zalin.
Bah humbug.
Oh,
he's
no.
Angry. I should have went with angry. He's kind of angry
I'm
today.
I'm cranky
you
today.
You are in a bad mood.
I'm cranky.
And we have the cool Corbin Smith. I didn't. Yay. I had nothing.
Just running out of stuff.
I had nothing. So, I mean, let's just go into it all. Let's talk about probably the most fun game we had maybe all year. DeSoto Cedar Hill, kind of a slugfest. I just was sort of surprised about the ebbs and flows of that game. It was kind of nothing for the first quarter, and then the second quarter they were scoring every play, and then it kind of drops in the third quarter, and then you have this kind of crazy fourth quarter. But I think a lot of people just talked about, is this the year DeSoto's getting the bounces? And it certainly seemed like that way when they get the punt return or the punt fumble return for a touchdown. Does this kind of signify that this is sort of DeSoto's year here?
I don't know if it signifies it's DeSoto's year, but there's no question the bounces that had kind of gone against them in recent years definitely went for them against Cedar Hill. I think they're a better team than Cedar Hill, but it's very close and close enough that that game could go either way. And to have, when DeSoto punted up by 8 points, and Cedar Hill was, you know, chasing them the whole game, when DeSoto punted and the Cedar Hill punt returner got stripped of it and it flies into the arms of a DeSoto player and he just runs down for a touchdown. And that was when Cedar Hill's defense had stood up a little bit and was stopping DeSoto a little bit. It was hard to get any stops in that game. So DeSoto got a break there. But, hey, DeSoto, that's 2 weeks in a row where they've played a really tough team. And the week before Abilene, when they had to pull that out, maybe this is their year. They find a way. You know, that's always a big saying. You got to find a way to win even when you're not at your best or maybe when another team is a little bit better than you.
Talent makes its own luck, I think. And if you look at what they've done the previous few years, I think that they're probably, they might have had a better team 2-3 years ago when they had Desmond White, they had Dontre Wilson. That was an awesome team. They just ran into a more talented team. And when you got those bad breaks, it was a backbreaker. You know, they just couldn't recover from it. And in these games, they're, I think, the favorite. I know. Todd Peterman says, nah, we're not, you know, whatever. I think they're the better team when they get on the field and when they get these breaks to capitalize. They're certainly doing it because, you know, they're the more talented team. I think it's their year. It'll be really interesting to see what happens in the next round because you look at what they've done in 3 consecutive weeks, beating Carroll, you know, beating Abilene, and now beating Cedar Hill. That's as tough a playoff run as you'll find out there. It'll be interesting to see if there's a let-up, and that's hard to believe, but they'll be on the road. They're not necessarily a great road team from what they've shown in a couple of long road trips this year.
When
they struggled in Midland and they struggled in Wichita Falls against Abilene. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting opponent, that's for sure.
Yeah, they'll get Klein Collins, who's been kind of under the radar all year this year, but obviously state semifinals, and that's 4 p.m. Saturday at NRG. We have the Houston Chronicles' Adam Coleman on to kind of preview Klein Collins in that game. And in 6A Division I, the Woodlands takes on Allen. Allen just seemed to wear Duncanville down there.
Definitely.
In the second half. It was a close game in the first half. Duncanville took a couple leads. Allen comes back. But this is a really interesting game, I think. I think the Woodlands might be the one team that has the depth to compete with Allen. Do you think Allen is in any sort of trouble here?
I don't think so.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, man.
I was going to say, I still see Allen as the favorite. I think the Woodlands is a very good team. But I love any team that can, the way Allen can this year, can be so balanced. They can throw against you and they can run against you. And in the second half, when you have a team with an offensive line like that and two tremendous running backs who are, you know, both fast in the open field but especially strong inside, it just wears teams out. And you're right, the Woodlands definitely has more depth than Duncanville. But I think in the second half, as long as Allen doesn't make a bunch of mistakes, I don't want to say a bunch of mistakes. I mean, it's not like they are clearly, you know, way ahead of the Woodlands. But I think if Allen doesn't make some mistakes, they're going to be in the game in the second half. And if Allen is in the game in the second half, I like the way they can close in the second half.
it'll be interesting to see them still playing that that game for an injured teammate. You know, they're riding mm-hmm. that emotional roller coaster with their teammate Grant Milton, who's been, you know, in the hospital, you know, since I guess for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
has been in Waco, you know, in the hospital after suffering a brain injury in a game, and you know, it'll. Yeah, I just don't know whether or not they've got the horses to match Allen. Allen is not only deep, but they're talented. You know, they've got multiple running backs, multiple receivers, you know, a good quarterback.
Their defense.
A strong defense.
Real strong defense.
So, yeah, it'll be a matchup to where if their quarterback, Eric Schmid,
mm-hmm.
can carry them. Supposedly he's an awesome dual threat kind of option read quarterback, that he's one of the more crafty you know, guys in the state at being able to watch that end and make the correct read and get yards out of it. If they can find something consistently on the offensive side, then they've got a shot. But otherwise, I like Allen to the state final.
I was going to make a note that it is being played at DKR. And look at this nonsense. I was going to make a note that it is being played at DKR and like, oh, being outdoors. Like, but the forecast is like 58, high 58 and sunny on Saturday, so I don't think it's going to matter.
Yeah, because late in the week, like Thursday, Friday, and of course it's Texas weather, it can change mm-hmm. really, but I think they had like mid-40s for around here and maybe just a little warmer in Austin. If you got that and you got some wind, it could really affect the game. But if it's sunny and gets close to 60, it should be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like this Allen team is predicated on throwing the ball.
Right.
I mean, this is this is a more ground and pound Allen than you've seen in recent memory.
And the weird thing is that, like, I mean, the whole concept of, like, overrated, underrated is so subjective in high school football because we're all in our own, like, little bubbles, and it's, like, easy for somebody to say, like, oh, they've been, you know, not talked about. Well, it's like, you know, it depends on what region of the state you're in. But I think that Allen's running game is honestly, like, maybe not talked about as, like, given how good it is. I mean, if there's a better tandem running back attack in the state, not that I've done extensive research on this, but, I mean, teams would be lucky to just have one Kirby Bennett or one Brock Sturgis, but the fact that they can cycle them in and out pretty much, like, at will, they're juniors, they're healthy, you know, I mean, you can't waist tackle Kirby. I mean, there was like one touchdown where guys were still trying to bring him down as he was going into the end zone, and it was just like hopeless. So, I mean, I think that's kind of the real strength of that Allen offense.
Well, yeah, when you combine those two backs with that offensive line, I'm not sure anybody else has that.
Now, the Woodlands, you know, they got 6 sacks against Round Rock. So you say, well, their defense might be stepping up, but this is a Woodlands team that gave up 40 to Sachse in the playoffs. And, so, you know, I think Allen's offense is, you know, certainly the equal of Sachse.
And Round Rock had fits with Coppell, so read into that as you will.
I mean, Coppell played Allen close for about 3 quarters there. You want a transitive property doubt, I mean.
Let's do it.
We'll
That's
see
always
what
fun. We can do all that.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, you mentioned Kirby Bennett and Brock Sturgis. They had almost like identical stats against Duncanville. It was like 120-plus yards, 2 TDs there. So you'll have an interesting one there. Again, that's 1 p.m. Saturday, Austin's DKR Texas Memorial Stadium.
Are the big teams ever going to win a flip? I mean, I know that's a neutral site, but nonetheless,
it's been a tough year.
Yeah.
That's a lot of road games there for a lot of big name franchises.
Was AT&T available this upcoming week?
No.
Oh, okay, it wasn't even available.
On the other side in that Class 6A Division I state semifinal, you got Humble Atascocita.
Humble.
Humble.
Humble. Is it Humble?
Humble.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Humble. Yeah.
Wow. I'm such a noob. They beat North Shore, defending 6A state champs. I mean, kind of a surprising matchup there. They run into the power here, Lake Travis, 13-1. They'll play at 2 p.m. Saturday at the Alamo Dome. I would assume Lake Travis is the favorite there.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Yeah, so.
My God.
Do you see what they did?
you're gonna have to hide the kids for this one.
You're going to have to hide the kids. You have to Jim Ross it because
good gosh almighty.
The way that they've been playing is just
that's like Travis's music.
Yeah, so that will be on Saturday as well. And then 6A Division II, we mentioned DeSoto, Klein Collins. On the other side there, Katy Cinco Ranch continues to be the last Katy team alive, which is surprising.
Did we give a shout-out to Atascocita for being North Shore?
We just did.
Okay. All right, cool.
Ivy's been on his phone, by the way, so that's why he's been missing.
You know,
declining calls from Ben Baby.
He called me, and then I text him, what do you want? He's like, I need a lunch recommendation for Deep Ellum.
Indeed.
Wow.
I told him to go to Uncle Uber's.
That's a good call.
Thank you.
And they play a Bowl of Steel 6 p.m. Saturday at the Alamo Dome as well. I would figure Steel is the favorite in that game as well. But should we just need a little more info on these Houston area teams. So let's bring in the Houston Chronicles' Adam Coleman right now.
Wow, drove all the way down.
Houston Chronicles' Adam Coleman joining us now. Let's talk, first of all, about Class A. Class 6A Division 1.
I thought you were going to buzz out some 6A.
Corbett got real excited.
Class 6A Division 1. Allen versus the Woodlands. Now, the Woodlands was kind of under the radar early in the year. Obviously, they're 14-0 now. Everyone knows them. We were talking about this game a little bit. Do you think the Woodlands can challenge here? Do you think the Woodlands can challenge the mighty Allen?
Well, I think they can, of course, but, I mean, it's not easy, and this might be the first time, or one of the few times, the Woodlands go into the game this year where they're clearly the underdog. I mean, no, this isn't Kyler Murray's Allen, but this is still Allen. This is still a very good team, and this is still a team that's been number one in the state all year long. But, I mean, this Woodlands team, I mean, it's not uncharted territory for them to be this far, but, you know, they haven't been this far in a couple years, and it just kind of felt like the year. Even going back to 7-on-7, and I know, you know, we don't put a lot of emphasis on 7-on-7, but it just, ever since summer, it just kind of felt like this is the year that they could have the kind of year like this, and it just all kind of set up nicely. But this is their biggest challenge. You just kind of wondered if they could avoid stubbing their toe early in the playoffs like they have the past couple years. They've done that. They've beat most teams handedly, and they've passed most challenges, but this is the biggest challenge, and they have to have a complete game on both sides of the ball. This year, sometimes it's been the defense. Sometimes it's been Eric Schmidt in that offense. But they have to play a complete game. They have to play flawless. I mean, this is a tremendous challenge for them. So do they have a chance to win this game? I think so, absolutely. But, I mean, you know, by no means are they a favorite. I think they're an underdog here. And, yeah, they're going to have to do a lot to win this game.
Just kind of give us a scouting report about them. What do they do well? What's been their kind of MO this season?
Yeah, I mean, their MO this season has kind of been what the Woodlands teams, a lot of Woodlands teams, past Woodlands teams' MO has been, is that great defense, efficient football, don't make too many mistakes. But the difference to me this year really has been quarterback Eric Schmidt. He is a Sam Houston State commit. His junior year, maybe inconsistent was probably a good word to say, a lot of ups and downs, but he really, really grew over the offseason, took command of this team, coach's son, of course, and just really been playing great ball and just really has great command of his offense, doesn't make a ton of mistakes, can make some plays with his feet. He's really been that team's MVP, but, I mean, it's going to come down to defense as a whole and, of course, cutting out the mistakes. You don't want to give Allen chances. And, you know, they're going to have to start really well in this game, but to me, the biggest difference for the Woodlands has been Eric Schmidt and just his progression as a quarterback and getting them this far. Yeah, he's been really huge.
And then on the other side of that semifinal or that 6A Division One, you have Atascocita. Just how surprised were you that they beat Galena Park North Shore there?
I was a little surprised. I can't lie. I mean, this is a team that took it to Katy, and of course, this isn't last year's Katy, but still, when North Shore won that game, there was a feeling that, okay, they just went up another rung on the Houston high school football hierarchy. Because, you know, in Houston, it's probably, when you talk about the two programs that are head and shoulders above everybody else, it's probably Katy and North Shore. And North Shore has state titles, and they won big games before. They've beaten Katy before, but when North Shore beat Katy, it just kind of, you know, I think woke people up even more. Like, you know, North Shore, you know, can really do something here. Winning back-to-back state titles is possible. And then Atascocita comes in and just kind of wrecks everything. And I don't know if it was a huge upset or anything like that, but I was a little shocked. I thought North Shore getting over that hump just kind of made them the favorite to get out of this bracket. And North Shore comes in with Davion Boyd and just all that athleticism on offense and defense and takes it to North Shore. So a little bit of a surprise. Now, I don't know what that what that does is going into a game against a Lake Travis team that's balling out of control, yeah. You know. But, I mean, huge win for Atascocita and kind of a breakthrough year for them as well. I mean, you know, they kind of been knocking on the door for quite a while, even though they're still somewhat a young program, haven't been around very long. But just a huge breakthrough win for them to kind of get through that.
And then you look in 6A Division II. I really just from the outside hadn't heard much about Klein Collins this year. And then they run through these last few games here and they match up in state semis against DeSoto. Like, were you kind of, I don't know, was Klein Collins kind of under the radar to you as well? Or have I just been sort of missing the boat here?
Yeah, no, they've been, I think under the radar is a good way to put it. I mean, now this is, they lost to Katy by 1 point. So Katy was a point away from starting 0-3. And so they should have won that Katy game. But we've had them in our rankings hovering around the top five, in the top five for most of the year. But, you know, I'm not sure that they just really had that spotlight, you know, in Region 2 as opposed to the Woodlands, who we've had number one in our city rankings for most of the year. So, but again, this is another team that's breaking through. We got a couple teams in Houston that have been good for a long time, and they've had some good playoff runs, but they haven't had that season where they can, that landmark season. And Klein Collins and Atascocita definitely fit that bill, especially Klein Collins. This is, they've had a couple third-round appearances, and this is the furthest they've been ever. Interesting thing about them is that their quarterback, Bryson Powers, who kind of led them all year, he's been hurt for the playoffs, so they kind of had to rely on the other guy, Brett Bridges, who's filled in nicely. Bryson, I think he still plays a little bit, but he's kind of limited, so they're still getting him in, but they've kind of dealt with some adversity a little bit. And beating Westfield, that was a huge step forward. That's kind of a old district rival. And, you know, Westfield, much younger Westfield team, but a Westfield team that usually beats Klein Collins more often than not. So getting them this past weekend is huge. And against DeSoto, I mean, I think that's going to be a challenge that they – I'm not sure they see anybody quite like that in their district or even in the city of Houston with all those athletes. And plus, this is the DeSoto team that probably feels like, hey, this is the year where we really have to do it. We got to push through. This is the year. But I think getting them out of DFW is interesting. That might be an interesting twist for this weekend. Just getting them maybe out of their comfort zone might make a difference. Who knows? But, you know, this Klein Collins team is kind of playing with house money, so to speak. So it's going to be an interesting game.
So Klein Collins played Katy tight, but Cinco Ranch, man, they just spit the bid against Katy, 45-7 on the losing end of that game. Did anybody see Cinco Ranch? I know that you know, that Region 3 and Division 2 is kind of wide open, but I guess a couple of weeks ago when they beat Friendswood, that kind of was an eye-opener that, you know, they figured things out as the season's gone along.
No, well, to answer your question, nobody saw this coming, and That's not a diss on Cinco Ranch. Coach Clayton is a great coach. Opened Cinco Ranch when they opened in 2000. And they've had a good program. They really have. But, you know, the biggest problem there is that they live in the shadow of Katy. There's always that Katy game, you know. And this year, this is their second time in the state semifinal. They went in 2009. So this year, they really did kind of maybe come out of nowhere. And to speaking to what you just said about that wide open bracket, I mean, it really was the Wild West ever since KU went D1. That whole bracket, I mean, we went into it thinking, okay, well, Pearland Dawson's the favorite, and then they lost in the first round. And then we went into it thinking, well, now it's Friendswood, they got it, and then they lost. and then we went into it thinking, well, you know, Star Ridge is really balling right now, they got it, and then they lost. You know, so and here's Cinco, last man standing. Now, the thing about Cinco is they've had the benefit, just to be truthful, of when they beat Friendswood, Tyler Page got hurt in the first drive of the game. And Tyler Page is, you know, quarterback for Friendswood, breaking all kinds of school records and things of that sort. And then when they played Star Ridge, Traylon Smith going to Arizona State, Star Ridge didn't have their running back. So, you know, you can maybe kind of look at it like Cinco Ranch has really had some good luck with injuries with their opponents, but I don't think that takes away at the same time for the kind of run that they've had. They've been playing really great ball, mistake-free football, just kind of a, you know, a great Don Clayton team, and this is a great run, man. I mean, now they get a Steel team that, again, you know, KD's not in this bracket. Steel is probably licking their lips, man, like, hey, this is it. This is it. This is our chance. So, you know, Cinco facing a team like Steel, this is going to probably be their greatest challenge outside of KD. So, again, they'll be underdog in this game too. But just to answer your question, I really – nobody saw Cinco outlasting KD in the playoffs, number one, and nobody saw him going this far. But they've been on a great run, and it's kind of been fun to watch.
Real quick, in 5A Division One, yep. What happened to Manville? I mean, seriously, everybody looked at what they did the week prior and thought, I'd penciled them out. I said, oh, no, they're going to win the state title. And then they go and kind of, I don't want to say lay down, but they did not have a good game against Temple. And that kind of ruins what would have been a dream matchup, because I think a lot of people would have looked at that Richmond-Foster and Manville game as a, you know, heavyweight, you know, slugfest.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I've been walking around the city of Houston telling people all year, like, hey, I bet my house that Manville will be in a state, at least in the state championship game. And here it is again, you know, fourth straight.
Adam, do you need a new house? you doing okay there, buddy?
Well, you know, let's just say I'm glad nobody took me seriously on that bet.
Okay,
but,
all right.
Yeah, but I'm shocked as anybody. Now, you know, we have to give Temple some credit. I mean, Temple is a good program. You know, they are no slouches. So this isn't, you know, a lot of people have been calling this the upset of the year or whatever you want to call it. Maybe it is from the standpoint that just you look at this Manville team resume. I mean, they beat North Shore. They beat Pearland. They beat Crosby. Crosby was coming into the year with high expectations. They handled Cedar Park. And Cedar Park is no slouch. I mean, it just really lined up for it. This is the year. There's no KD. You're Class 5A now. This is your year where you can get some serious hardware in that trophy case. And here comes Temple, you know, and once again. So, you know, it is a little shocking. And, yes, it does rob us of Foster and Manville in the state semifinal. I think everybody had that penciled in. But, you know, when you're Foster, I mean, maybe – you know, I don't know who was going to win that game between Foster and Manville, but I know that would have been one of the few times Foster went into a game where they weren't favored or, you know, they maybe had a chance to lose. But maybe this changes fortunes for Foster.
Yeah, no doubt.
But then again, Temple, if Temple can do that to Manville, then they can definitely do that to you if you're Foster. So, mm-hmm. You know, they definitely have to be on high alert. So it was definitely shocking, but, you know, let's see what Foster does with it. Maybe it opens the door. Let's see what Foster does with it and if they can keep this run going.
A name to look out for just in the box scores if for Texas high school football fans is C.D. Lamb,
yeah.
Star receiver for Foster. It was going to be fascinating to see what he would do against a talented Manville secondary. But last round, he goes 8 catches, 211 yards,
dang.
4 touchdowns. He's committed to Oklahoma. He's a baller.
There's a fun little anecdote. I was in the elevator with a member of the Temple like football, I guess, community, and I asked him, I was like, why are you guys playing at AT&T? And he said, well, I heard that the other guys wanted to get their kids experience playing in Jerry World so they'd do it and so they know how it felt for state.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow. That worked out well.
All right. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Adam. Well, let's see. You got the Woodlands versus Allen. You got Atascocita, Lake Travis, Klein Collins, DeSoto, Katie Cinco Ranch, Cibola Steel, and we'll throw Foster in there as well. Temple versus Richmond Foster. Out of those 5, how many do you think advance to the state finals here?
I thought you were going
to
ask him how many gamers is he writing.
That's true, too.
Well, I'll be writing a couple gamers. But no, you know, me and Angel were talking, and we were just really thinking, like, man, there's a good chance. All these are tough. There's a good chance Houston goes over here. And, you know, if I said that out loud to Houston, they might, you know, they might run me down. They might riot. But, you know, I'm just being honest. There's a really good chance. All of these games are just so tough. But I think we at least get one. I think, you know, here in Houston. I think we get one here in Houston, and we get a local team here going. But really, when you look at those state semifinals, man, I mean, they're just really, really tough. I mean, all of these games, Lake Travis, Allen, you know, Temple doing what they did. I mean, it's just so DeSoto. I mean, it's just so tough to kind of, you know, they'll be up against it. So whoever gets there from Houston, I'm not sure who it'll be, But whoever gets there will have definitely earned it. But there's a chance that Houston down here, we go over. That is definitely one thing that I think Houston fans have to keep in mind.
You think that Richmond Foster is probably going to be the only favorite in the of those five, right?
Yes. Yeah, I would say so. Richmond Foster maybe has the best chance. And, I mean, who knows? You know, we might see a team one of those other teams shock their opponents here. You know, like I said, Klein Collins, maybe getting DeSoto out of their element a little bit, getting them to travel, I think that's huge. And, you know, who knows? I mean, Atascocita, see that the way they played against North Shore might make a difference against Lake Travis. So, you know, we never really know. But if I think right now, if you ask me who I'm most confident in, I would have to say Foster, just the way they've been playing in Region 4, the way they've just been slicing through opponents. Maybe it might be just a better matchup against Temple than it would be if it would have been Manville.
All right, Adam Coleman of the Houston Chronicle, at Cron Coleman on Twitter. That's a great Twitter name, by the way.
It is.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I changed it a couple times, and that's the one I settled on, so I love that one. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so follow him at Cron Coleman. Go to cron.com to read his stuff, and we'll see you maybe at AT&T for the state finals.
Now they're going
to
expand their coverage zone to College Station or West Orange Stark or somebody like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, bowling. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to start maybe false claiming some schools, man. I don't know, you know, if we go over, you know. But no, no matter what, man, we'll be up there. So I'm really looking forward to sharing a press box with you guys.
All right.
We'll take care.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. Mm-hmm.
Thanks again to Adam Coleman for coming on. That would be quite a reversal there if Houston doesn't get any teams in the state final after last year.
All that crow, they have to make a giant pie of crow pie.
I think I'm higher on Houston schools than Adam is. I don't know. Like, I mean, I was in the press box and I was basically saying that, like, I thought Klein Collins was just going to get the doors beat off him by DeSoto, but Matt Diggs told me, like, I don't know about that one.
Sometimes when you see your own teams, you're a little harder on them. You see the chinks in the armor a little bit.
Yeah, I do think DeSoto on the road is a little bit different than DeSoto in the area.
But they've done it three times. I mean, you learn eventually.
Maybe. We'll see. I think that'll probably be one of the closer games. I think Allen will handle the Woodlands. That's when I feel real comfortable.
Wow.
About.
Well, and it's interesting because if you look at the Woodlands schedule, they're 14-0, by the way. But as we alluded to, we might have alluded to earlier, their closest game of the season was against Sachse in the first round.
Not the first round. I think it's second round.
Second round. It was like 41-50 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I mean, to their credit, I think they beat Katy like 23-2, which...
Yeah, but this is a down Katy year.
It's
so,
a down Katy year.
You were beating
so
Katy on an up year.
It's
then.
So hard to tell, like, who, you know, who have they played.
It's all interesting, this confidence in Allen, because I came into the week. That was going to be my big, like, upset pick.
All right,
Woodlands
I love it.
Over Allen, because I
now
felt like...
Now people are... You're scaring...
Yeah, I felt like they had the depth, and they had the athletes, like... to compete there and to make it a game, and then you go to Austin, kind of a neutral site. It's a little different, but now I'm getting scared. Like I
am not sold on, and haven't for the longest time been sold on Houston area in Region 2, in the state's largest classification. Quite constantly, they've put out a team that gets into this round and has a difficult time getting past, you know, whoever the Metroplex throws out there. And, you know, the some of the times that they've been closest were the times that the Skyline was the team that was advancing. So, mm-hmm. you know, if it's not a Westfield or a, you know, Galena Park North Shore or somebody like that that's an established power, yeah. I mean, I know the Woodlands is good, but the Woodlands, if you look at their long-term success, they haven't been, you know, this deep in the playoffs very often, even though they've won double-digit wins for a good number of years. So, I think Allen is the clear favorite.
All right. Let's go to 5A. We haven't really done much with 5A other than Richmond Foster and Temple with two teams out of our area. 5A Division I, Denton Ryan Highland Park. Denton Ryan kind of dominated against Colleyville Heritage, although they didn't score the
point. Had a hard time putting them away a little.
Yeah, they kind of dominated the time of possession there. Highland Park wins a defensive thriller, 14-7 over Mansfield Legacy. They get a play in the end zone with 43 seconds left to win the game.
That was a good game story there, Mike Flores.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Appreciate it. And, George Stewart makes the diving play to break up the pass to win it. I would assume Denton Ryan's the favorite here, but can Highland Park have enough here to challenge them?
Well, I think Denton Ryan's definitely the favorite. Highland Park's defense, I think it's maybe the best Highland Park defense I've seen, but it's not paired with the best Highland Park offense I've seen, although rarely does a team have both of those things. But I think these teams are both similar on defense, both really good defenses. But when I look at the offense, specifically Spencer Sanders, the quarterback for Ryan, they seem to be able to score so much more easily than what I see from Highland Park.
I reached out to a coach who has lost to both of these schools.
Oh, interesting.
That was old Mesquite Poteet's Cody Groves, which we'll talk about in a second. And I said, who you like in this game? And the first he's tried to do it off the record. But then he came on the record and said he thinks Denton Ryan is going to be. He said that their defensive line is one of the best that he's ever coached against.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're just too athletic up front. And he thinks that they can control HP's running game. And if they do, if they stop HP's running game, granted, that's an HP running game that also is missing their star running back, mm-hmm. Jack Kosmeski, broke his arm in the previous round. Yeah, if they can stop that, I think it shuts down that offense. I don't think HP has to be able to run the ball. They don't have a dynamic passing attack as they have in years past. And I like HP as far as, you know, strong up front, can run the ball, can play defense. They'll be close with anybody. But I think this Ryan team's got just too much to offer.
This is one of the few divisions where I think it actually played out to kind of like where we expected, maybe even at the beginning of the season, where it's like, okay, who do you expect to have in the state semis? Well, Highland Park versus Denton Ryan seems pretty likely, and sure enough, that's what it is. Denton Ryan, I think they're playmakers. It's just so hard to bet against them. When you look at the combination of Tyreek Davis, Spencer Sanders, and Ernest, God, what's his
Brown?
Last name? Brown. I mean, that trio is just like, I'd put them up against pretty much any other team in 5A.
And that's not counting their receivers. They got Gabriel Douglas and Toski Dove. I mean,
Toski.
Too many
Toski,
weapons.
You know.
Yeah. Tolstoy.
they're really good.
It's interesting Cody Groves said that about the defensive line. That's the second coach I've heard say that their defensive line is Denton Ryan's defensive line is the best they've seen in since they've been coaching or whatever. So.
And that, you know, has traditionally been Denton Ryan's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean their calling card under Coach Florence was
Mario Edwards.
Yeah, they've had Mario Edwards. Who's the other guy that went to big guy?
I can't remember. But they've
he's
had some,
insulted now.
They've had some tremendous defensive tackles, big, strong guys.
Yeah, I'll get those guys in a second.
All right. The other semifinals, Temple, Richmond, Foster. We talked about that a little bit with Adam there. You figure Foster's the favorite there with Corbett's boy C.D. Lamb.
I'm mainly going on the resume because I just don't see these teams.
Yeah.
But I would think they're the favorite. But people had told me, people were accidentally writing in that that they were going to play Manville before the Temple-Manville game. And they're like, and somebody put on a tweet, they have to beat Temple first. But it sounded like, well, you know, that goes without saying.
Since Temple beat Port Arthur Memorial, had my respect.
Temple has quite the resume. They got three losses, but they were all close losses to, like, good teams. And then you go Class 5A Division II, Aledo 14-0. First, Mesquite Poteet 11-3, 7:30 Friday.
Upset
at
special.
The Ford Center, or at the Frisco's Ford Center at the Star.
I might be flagging this as my upset special, although
I wish Poteet wasn't beat up at running back, but
yeah.
But Caleb Fletcher is playing so great.
Just lights out.
And the defense is really good. I mean, if you can hold Lancaster, not that Lancaster didn't move the ball and score some points, but they didn't let Lancaster go crazy with the amount of weapons they have. That Poteet defense is really good. And Caleb Fletcher, there's a guy, you know, we have Sean Robinson, we have Avery Davis, we have all these big-name quarterbacks in the area, and he's been kind of in those shadows. But I think he's probably as important to that team as those other guys are to their team.
We have some breaking news on the podcast
Ooh.
Right now.
Oh, boy.
And almost five.
Does it involve Indiana Hoosiers basketball?
No, Matt, get out of here. Fort Wayne game never happened.
Okay.
Highland Park versus Denton Ryan has been moved.
Whoa.
It's been flexed.
It has been flexed to AT&T Stadium.
Whoa. Jerry got some pull.
So now you got
when your grandson's the quarterback, you can
well,
get
some
things.
Well, now hold on
happen.
Here just a sec.
Okay.
So, no, that was me doing the Jerry impression of changing the location. So, kickoff at 1:30, which I believe is the same as it was before. But yeah, you gotta get some of that home cooking. Somebody on Twitter was like, of course Highland Park's going to win. They're playing at Jerry's World. And I was like, I don't think that has anything to do with anything. Like the refs are not NFL refs.
Right.
Like, God help us. Anyway, so going back to Poteet Aledo.
Yeah. I think a lot of people like Poteet in this game. Although their three losses obviously might scare some people away, but they're just so deep. Like,
yeah, but
for
who are those?
They were a long time ago and to good teams.
Yeah.
Highland Park, still around.
Ryan.
Denton Ryan, still around.
Yeah.
And the Lakeridge.
And hopefully they'll be healthier next week. You know? I don't know.
I don't know the situation with Daquan.
Yeah, and also back. The defensive, the Navy defensive.
He's thing. Out. Josh Johnson, he broke his leg, so he's out. He didn't play last week.
Yeah, he's out.
It's a lingering sure broken leg injury.
I mean, what's surprising about me is that I'm so trained to think that, like, if some of your main playmakers are out, that therefore, you know, devalues you as a team, and yet they come out and beat Lancaster shorthanded. So it's like, again, it's like maybe, what are you looking at me like that for?
No, I was just looking at Mike Florek.
Oh. I mean, yeah, I like looking at Mike Florek, too.
Yeah, he's a handsome man.
I was looking at Corbett.
I was looking at myself. But, yeah, I mean, it devalues you as a team. But, again, it's like there's probably kids that we don't know about who are just like second stringers who could be just as good as the first stringers, but we just, you know, don't know about them yet. And it's like Alito has faced Mansfield Legacy, and this is maybe a debate we can get into. But
they beat
strength,
Legacy. They beat
They
Heritage.
Beat Legacy, and they beat Heritage. Heritage is fine. You know, they're good, but like does their strength of schedule worry you considering that the last good win they had was September 2nd against Mansfield Legacy?
Well, I mean, they haven't had a challenging road in the playoffs.
It hasn't been their fault. Like,
if it gets close,
you kind of
got to
play the hand you're dealt. Like, it's not their fault that they're placed in the district they're in. It's not their fault that they've had the playoff path that they've had, but it's like, when's the last time they faced a team of Poteet's caliber?
Right. I mean, if Alito can blow
practice
the doors
squad.
Off, then I don't think it matters. But I think there definitely is something to that when you get in the second half and you haven't been kind of mentally tested that way, when a drive becomes really important.
And it's like it's hard to step on a treadmill when it's going, you know, 10 miles per hour.
Yep.
You got to ease into that.
I think that's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, I wouldn't dismiss their district as easily. I think their district was pretty decent, actually better than it has been in years past, where they've
been
in Fort Worth ISD teams.
Right.
Where, you know, Justin Northwest was, you know, quite
better,
respectable
this
year, and there's no doubt, and could have, you know, made a nice run. Grapevine, you know, was no slouch. You know, they weren't, you know, world beaters, but you know, they handled them as well,
51-7.
Yeah, Wichita Falls Rider, traditional strength. So I mean, I think they've beaten some better teams than you think, but I don't know. There's just something about this. I saw Alito last year against Lakeridge, and Lakeridge just whooped them. It wasn't.
Well,
as
there was
close
that run, right? I mean, they just kind of out physicaled them.
Oh yeah,
you don't do to Alito very often.
No, Alito just looked overwhelmed, and I was shocked to see it because everybody was expecting this Alito team to really punch back, and you know, Lakeridge got on them. So I don't know. There's something about you know, the way that Poteet seems to have some magic right now. I was also at that last Poteet Alito. This is a rematch of the 2010. Really fantastic game. Jonathan Gray was in his heyday, and everybody thought he was that they were just going to run all over Poteet. And Bo Nowell had one of the best, you know, gutsy kind of Emmitt Smith-esque, you know, versus Willis Reed moment, where he had a bad enough ankle sprain where they thought it was broken. Had taken him in, had done x-rays, and they realized it's just a high ankle sprain, but a real severe one. And he comes limping back on the field and leads them to a near upset. They lost by two that year. So there could be some magic.
What was his name?
Bo Nowell.
Oh, I thought he said Bone.
Big baseball player, too.
Big, yeah, he was a great baseball player for Poteet.
Bo.
Just speaking of Denton Ryan, I was like, man, we should their defensive line. If that's the best defensive line, I mean, they traditionally have been, you know, some of the biggest strengths of that team. But you look, Jarvis Moss, who played in the NFL,
right.
Derek Loki, who played in the NFL, and Brian Smith, who played in the NFL. Those three guys, and Mario Edwards Jr., that's a tradition-rich program at defensive line. I just had to drop that in there.
There you go. Shout out to all those guys. Shout out to Bo Nowell.
Shout out.
The other semifinal, Class 5A Division II, College Station, 14-0, playing Corpus Christi Cal Allen, 13-1, 7:30 Friday.
Fun stat about Cal Allen, they are 1-9 in their history in the state semifinal.
Oh, that doesn't bode well.
It's when it gets real.
Well, they're not facing, it is when it gets real, Region 4 curse. They're not facing Lamarck. Lamarck now is a shell of its former self, run by Texas City. They don't even have a school district anymore.
Right.
But Lamarck beat them six times in those nine semifinals. I think they beat them five in a row at one point.
Yeah, it doesn't bode well.
Fun.
I picked College Station to win the state title before the playoffs. So I'm
strong.
Yeah, I'm riding
My
them.
My God.
I'm riding them. And then just one game, 4A Division I, Abilene Wiley gets Kennedale. Kennedale comes back just running the ball, too. And they don't even need to pass.
Right.
They stick with their run game.
I like that. They're like, well, this is what got us here. It doesn't matter that we're down as much. Just run.
Run. Toss run. Left.
Yeah, so they come back. They're down 21-7 to Van, the Vandals. No.
I had some great Van gifts prepared of like Vans busting through gates, but
I saw that one from
the A-team.
From the A-team, that was great.
So
did you see the Rambo one from? Okay, we have one.
And then they'll get Abilene Wiley in the state semis. That's at the. So you'll get an interesting game there. Abilene Wiley obviously beating Argyle. Was it two rounds ago?
Two rounds ago.
The Fighting Sox.
That joke never works. You've tried it at least twice on the podcast and it always falls flat.
It'll hit one day.
Yeah. That is at Birdville, so you can go out to that game. Yeah, it will be interesting. Kennedale, never really been here before, if I remember correctly. So
they've been good for a long time, though.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so other than that, let's just go to the Corbett Smith Small School Experience.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah. 2 minutes, Corbett runs down all the small school games.
Well, I mean, we have to give a kind of a greater Dallas area shout out to Gunter, who's had a heck of a season, 14-0, but they're facing Canadian in a really interesting matchup. Canadian's got two losses, and this is a Canadian team, though, that's won 15 straight playoff games because they were in a lower classification, and they have moved up.
That saved their bacon.
You know who has the longest winning streak in the state?
No.
Bremond.
Yes.
Rashad Paul.
What do I win?
I don't know, but Rashad Paul has the record.
Can I take your radio spot?
Sure.
Yes.
He has the record for wins as a starting quarterback. He's 45-0. They are now on a 45-game winning streak.
I hate
playing
that I
Burton
know that.
In the smallest classification. I think everybody in the state is going to be looking at the Wellington Skyrockets at 13-1 versus Ira.
Where else would a rocket go?
Yeah.
Well, Ira Ann, because of what happened in Ira Ann.
The tragic bus crash that
killed the cheerleading sponsor and injured eight in that. I think that will be the New York Times actually had a writer and a photographer following Ira Ann.
That's amazing.
So
with the
You got 55 seconds.
Oh, as far as interesting games to watch, man, I tell you, that West Orange Stark Gilmer potential state matchup, that looks pretty strong. I think Sweetwater and Gilmer will be a game. I think that Sweetwater might be able to challenge Gilmer because this isn't a vintage Gilmer team. This is in Class 4A Division II. But West Orange Stark, they're one of the few matchups between unbeatens. They're playing Navarro. I think they're going to blow the doors off of Navarro. They've only given up 56 points the entire season.
It's a little high for them.
And they got Jack Dallas at quarterback.
Jack Dallas.
Shout out.
Yeah, that's right.
A big upset in six-man.
Oh no!
Good
Borden
Lord.
County beats Happy, and Happy was unbeaten.
Oh man, Happy's always in the state.
Happy's
final
gone.
Game.
Happy's gone. But Jonesboro, not that Jonesboro.
Oh God!
But you've got Jonesboro and Borden County in the Division One final. That's going to be at 7 o'clock.
Run him off the stage.
7 o'clock on Saturday at AT&T Stadium. So if you want, if you don't have a rooting interest in any of the games in the area, go to see some six man action. Balmoray and Richland Springs. Richland Springs, home of Denham Reeves. He's no longer there. He's graduated. It's probably 3 or 4 years
Denham.
Ago.
Denham.
But Denham had one of the best runs as a six man player. Yeah, they won 44 straight
and
games.
And he played the entire game in jeans. Not a lot of people remember.
He did cutoffs.
They were loose fit.
It was like the old Kentucky jerseys. Nobody remembers that. All right.
They were sponsored. So there you go. Balmoray, Richland Springs. For those who just want to catch a game, it's 4 o'clock at AT&T on Saturday. That'd be a great game.
Nobody's listening.
I'm enjoying the Corbett Smith Small School Experience.
I'm enjoying
this is a great innovation here. There you go. There's all you really need to know. For Avi, for Matt.
Hold on. We need to get some people on the record.
Can we get an upset pick all around real quick?
Okay.
All right.
Poteet.
Okay. Floric, are you going to stick with the Woodlands over Allen?
Yes.
Okay.
Just for fun. Let's do it.
No, you can't do just for fun. This
no,
is
let's do
business.
It. Yeah.
I'm going to aggregate this later.
I really believe, I think the Woodlands has the athletes, and I think they have the depth to where, hey, they can stay in the game, and then you just need a few bounces. So, yeah, I think the Woodlands really can win this game here.
Corbett.
I'm going to have to say...
God, that noise is the worst.
As an upset special.
Stop that, Matt.
I'll say Kennedale.
Really?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to go with Poteet.
There you go. Again, for Avi, for Matt, for Corbett, for me, sportsdayhs.com, at sportsdayhs on Twitter, Instagram, sportsdayhs. And we'll see you Friday and Saturday night.